lay hands on you, so yeah, hand them out. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. We're going to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, and read into the next chapter, verse 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 3, 16, and then 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Tonight I want to talk to you just briefly. The urgency that I feel, I believe, I see, and you could even say I know that some of us are raging in a battle right now. Others will shortly and soon be engulfed in a battle, not necessarily just spiritual, but physical, financial, emotional, relational, all the above. As Speedy gets them handed out, she's Yaki, you're Speedy. Thank you, brother. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about combat faith. Combat faith to me is unshakable faith for every day, each and every day. Our scripture text, 2 Timothy 3, 16, and then 4, 1 through 4. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Then chapter 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. A question that I want to start with tonight. The title of the lesson is Combat Faith. You've got two choices tonight. It's called offense and defense. What would you say to defensive Christians? Those that only do something when they are put on the defense. Which would you rather be? Would you rather be an offensive Christian? Or would you rather be a defensive Christian? Now, I'm pausing. Brother Paul.
To me, defense is a protective position, and Paul tells us to run the race to win. He doesn't tell us to run the race not to lose. And to win, we need to go on the offensive.
Okay. Someone else. Someone else. You got one for offense. Sure took you long enough, Brian. Hey, you don't have your Yoder Toter beard on. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
I shaved that as soon as I got home. Because I realized how I looked. But anyway. What comes to mind is I think about like a sports game. So football. If you have a very strong defense, that's something that is important. However, you can have the best defense in the world, but you'll never win the game if you can't be offensive when you need to be. So you need to have a good offense and a good defense, and you need to know and have the discernment to know which to use, I think, in the situations.
So is that a fence straddling answer? Okay. You got one offense, one straddling. Come on. Sister Trish, Brother Richard.
Scripture says, above all, take the shield of faith, for which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And this is the best offense.
So are you an offense Christian or a defense? Offense.
Okay. But a shield is a defensive piece.
That's why I asked. The sword.
Sister While Trish. I am loath to find myself agreeing with Brian most of the time. you're welcome, honey. I think that there's something to the idea of having both. Like we were just talking about, we have a sword and a shield. We have the mandate to spread the gospel, and we also have the mandate to defend it, you know, apologetically when, like, the real word, not like we're apologizing for it, but that we're explaining it when we're called to do so. We're supposed to be instant in season to explain the hope we have. So I think we have to be maybe not a little of both, I think a lot of both.
Yes. No one else? A teacher? I'm teaching. I'm glad I didn't see that face. For all the times that I've picked on my sister, she's trying to get me back. Just remember, I think you did a pretty good job of it. See the knot there? Okay, let's get serious. I feel that we need to be on the offensive more than we are. Because if you wait until the things come your way, the words has a lot of promises. Scripture itself says, for they are yea and amen. That means agreed together. The word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting and dividing even bone and marrow. One of the things that you need to understand is there's times that you need to be on the defensive. But nowhere did Jesus give us the example that we need to be the devil's doormat. And I feel that too many Christians today are just that, the devil's doormat, because they wait until the things attack them, their problems get so insurmountable. God's instructions for the church says endure sound doctrine, because there's coming a time, and hopefully we've gotten past with what's transpiring on our colleges, that we are getting some traction, some ground on the enemy's plans. Yes, we'll have those fiery darts, we'll have, but nowhere does the armor of God protect our backsides. It's a go forward mentality that we need. Bible even says if you lack wisdom, let him ask. I would much rather be an offensive Christian, binding and loosening. We've got that capability. Scripture says, out of this little hole here, we can speak blessings or we can speak cursings. Gee, let me think about that one. Which would you choose? So, when we think of combat faith, we got to think of unshakable faith. And it's not just for a few. It's for any child of God. Anyone who has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Let's get into the lesson then. The introduction. Now more than ever, we must learn to break the faith barrier, to overcome worry, anxiety, and fear, and to enter into a new dimension of peace and stability. To claim the invincible inner peace that God has promised each of us. To claim the invincible inner peace that God has promised us. Are you ready to go to the new dimension of peace that God wants for His children? We can be chaotic. Our lives can be a mess, but we can still have that invincible inner peace that God gives to His children. In the midst of the storm, in the trials, in the tribulations, we can still have God's comfort and rest. And how is that? By faith. You don't know how. You don't know when, but you just know that He will. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to talk for a few minutes on God's provisions. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. One description was people being tossed to and fro, meaning wishy-washy, meaning unstable. Confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. He being Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. Without wavering. That means if God said it in His Word, we can exercise that blessing that God has for us. All by a little simple childlike faith. We're going to take a look at a few of God's provisions. Letter A underneath number one. God loves us with an intense and personal care. If you think of the scripture, even while we were yet sinners, Christ loved you enough to die for you and for me. But when we put that into practice after salvation, when we've been made joint heir with Jesus Christ, we have a lot to be thankful for. God loves us with an intense and personal care. He will never allow any one of us to be tested above what we are able to stand. I wished I had a dollar for every time I heard someone say, "Well, I just don't know how much more I can stand." That's where our faith's got to kick in and say, "I trust you, Lord." Amen. Letter B. Perfect inner peace. In spite of the adversities, in spite of the pressures, in spite of the problems of life, no matter what you want to call it, anxiety, worry, fear, drama, that's life. But he gives perfect inner peace in spite of all those trials. Amen. How about letter C? Another provision that God has provided. Joy and inner happiness. Most of the time, God doesn't have to reveal. Your face gives you away. If you're having a good day or a bad day, and who chooses? That's the problem. You let someone else, something else, dictate to you if you're having a good day or a bad day. Joy and inner peace. What is the acronym for joy? Jesus, others, joy, unspeakable, and full of God's glory. No matter how difficult or unpleasant your situation might be, because in 100 years, what will it matter? We make a mountain out of a molehill. And no one else goes through what I go through, Pastor. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Letter D. Spiritual stamina. And courage, no matter how intense and frightening our circumstances. Spiritual stamina. It's like the big oak tree in a windstorm. Bends with the wind, but doesn't break. That's the power that you have through God's provision. Doesn't the word say, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper"? God is still in control. Christians today need to get a backbone. And when they will do that, God will bring that stamina. Now, whatever comes your way is already defeated. He's even able to pull down strongholds. Those things that you got going on in your brain that keeps you from doing what you know you should be doing. Amen. Letter E, unshakable hope and stability. When our world and all that is familiar is falling apart. And can I get a, oh, the drama? Can we just have a moment, please? Unshakable hope. Hope is what's going to get us through. Hope in a God who loves us. Hope in a God who provides for us. Hope in a God who is our love factor. Hope in His Word. Why? Because that's God talking to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. Even the tiniest of tiny, Jesus wept. Do you know you could take that two-word Scripture and preach on that, teach on that for quite a while? Why did He weep? Is He still weeping today for His brothers and sisters? Letter F. An experience of power when all human strength is gone. Paul said, when I am weak, you are strong. So that means he was strong. And if you don't know what to say or do, shut up and listen. Pardon my frankness. But sometimes you just need to be quiet. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. In the power of His might, you can read the first few chapters of the book of Acts and get a great experience of the early church and what we should be like today. Where we fail miserably. Letter G. Wisdom and confidence when thrown into an impossible witnessing situation. You do not have to have any degree, any formal teaching. All you need to have is the Word of God up here, in here. God will bring it back to your remembrance. We're in for a fight, church. And in these end times, we need to have combat faith. Now we'll say, no, I don't believe the Bible quite says it that way. I read the final chapter, and the devil loses. But the family of God, the kingdom of God, wins. No doubt about it. Letter H. It doesn't matter how much you have failed. Is that you? How fearful or nervous you may be. Is that you? How much worry? How much fret? How inadequate and inferior you feel? That's a lie from the enemy. The next time you get to feeling down in the molly grubs, you say, devil, get thee behind me. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. I've got rights. I've got authority. Not my own, but by the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. His peace in the midst of your storm can be your constant daily experience. And it says, how many more times do we have to do it? Just one more. Be constant. Be steadfast in your faith. Don't be up, don't be down, but be consistent. Letter I. God delights in taking the least likely individuals and turning them into mighty men and women of faith. I think of the old chorus, Mighty Warrior, Dress for Battle. Call us to attention, Commander-in-Chief, Jesus. I know that's not quite exactly the way it goes, but letter I, God delights in taking the least likely individuals and turning them into mighty men and women of faith. Faith is what moves the hand of God. Not your storm, not your problem, not your issue. And according to Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith is the key. You already have enough faith. You have the ability to exercise your faith. Faith just means simply standing on the Word of God. And combat faith means it's unshakable, immovable, like a rock, steadfast, ready to go at any time. With combat faith, we learn to believe the promises of God in spite of our feelings, our emotions, or even our situations and circumstances. Question: whose report are you going to believe? I'll take the report of the Lord any day. If He says it, it's happening. When things get tough, we keep on believing. Believing in the promises of God. One of the best things that we can do is pray. Prayer doesn't change God or His way of thinking. Prayer puts us in a position. He changes us with prayer. We need to remember that we have the power of cursing or blessing with our tongue, but also the binding and loosening. We can bind the enemy in the name of Christ. Whatever is bound in heaven shall be bound on earth. Whatever is loosed in heaven shall be loosed on earth. God's got it under control. Especially when things don't look like it. Because you think the devil worries him? Not a bit. Amen. Does anybody have any comments or questions? During the day, whenever we can, we should be praying. But we can talk to God. We can talk to the enemy. We can talk to our problems. You say, well, won't people think I'm crazy? Have you looked at yourself lately? We're crazy for Jesus. No comments? I know if I ask this question, what type of answer I'll get, but here goes. What is faith? Do not give me Hebrews 11:1. do not. What is faith? Sister Candy.
To believe in things that you can't see.
Exchange faith with some words, adjectives. Believe, trust, confidence. List can go on and on and on. We all know that Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Combat faith unshakable faith. What time is it? And don't say 2 minutes till 8. It's time for the children of God to get serious about what place in the kingdom of God are you going to be in. Do you just want to barely scoot into heaven? Because everything the Word says about heaven, it's going to be a place. What a place it's going to be. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more problems. Amen. Would you stand with me? Offering basket is here. If you brought any tithes or offering. Let's close out with a word of prayer. Precious Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the promises, the provisions of your word, the working of your Spirit, and the blood of Jesus Christ that flows through our veins. We thank you, Lord, as we close out tonight and as we go to our separate homes. We ask, Lord, that you grant us the harvest around us, whether it's neighbors, friends, family, co-workers, going into a shopping center or store, eating in a restaurant. Let us be bold in our faith. Let us be strong in your word as your Holy Spirit brings back to our remembrance what we have read and studied. We ask tonight, Lord, that we go in blessings and not cursings. We go in your power, in your majesty, and in your grace and love. We ask, Lord, that you bless tonight each giver as they give in this offering for the betterment of the kingdom work. We ask that you bless the home financially and bring the harvest into their pocketbooks, checkbooks. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we're praying. We're believing and we're expecting great, great things. And the church said, Amen. Trust that you have a great rest of your week. Please pray for Sunday services as well. Oh, pancake breakfast.